But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
The Ohio State Supreme Court rules that boneless wings can have bones in them.
I saw this morning. I did not know what to think.
What?
It's just the style of cooking it?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Ohio Supreme Court ruled that foodies can't expect boneless wings to be completely bone-free.
They're boneless!
Stop it. Get some help.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
But eat a bone with a bone in it.
On WGR.
This is open material. That's all I can say.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm boycotting Ohio.
Normally, I would engage in the silly antics.
Yes.
But this is not a normal Sports Talk Saturday.
No, this is Saturday Sports Talk.
This is prelude to the playoffs.
It is. We're finally here.
We've made it.
This is fun, like, so exciting. It really is.
Ever since like week 10, we've been waiting for this moment.
Well, especially when the ending run for the Bills was the AFC least. It was just kind of like, okay, like, let's, you know,
since Thanksgiving, when you knew that you were going to have the division all wrapped up.
Yeah.
It was pretty much, okay, well, we're waiting for this moment.
It was the Madden, like, sim to playoffs. Like, I just wanted to hit
pretty
that
much
button. Yeah.
And we have simmed to the playoffs.
We have.
Bills Broncos tomorrow, 1 o'clock. I would usually open this show with nonsense, but this is a no nonsense weekend, Joe. Well, it's a minimal nonsense weekend, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We're standing on business. We are getting you ready for this playoff game with the Bills and the Broncos, and we're gauging how you're feeling. We've been waiting longer than I feel like we should have for the expectation of wild card weekend.
Yep. It's no longer super wild card weekend. Did you see they ditched that?
Good. Because it was a weird name. I think it was because no one was saying it.
Yeah.
It's not a super saiyan. It's just wild card weekend.
Exactly.
Like I said, minimal silliness. But the main point being is this. Ever since before Thanksgiving, Bills fans knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Bills fans knew that this was what was happening because the Chiefs were still.
Yeah, they had the shadow man on their side pulling some voodoo magic in the back.
That was, yeah. I had long written off the one seed at that point,
yeah.
And it was pretty much, all right, they're going to be hosting, they're going to be the two seed, or the three at worst, and let's get at it.
And here's the thing. For everyone that was upset about the one seed, how could you have been? This was a quote-unquote retool year. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the two seed was not on my bingo card to start the season. I'm ecstatic in the position they're in because the home playoffs, unless it's Kansas City at any point, go through them.
Yes.
Other teams have to come play in Arctic Air January in Buffalo.
Where the Bills also went the regular season unbeaten.
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing at home.
Exactly.
Denver comes here. Denver is the team coming in. And it's a team that I respect, a team that I like, a team that seems to have built their roster in a proper way. They get it done in the trenches.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. Their defense was, I do believe, the best at getting sacks this year. They are a good team in the trenches. And that's where, like, the Bills' defensive line, they need to show up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line has been at its peak performance this year.
It has. Against a very good D-line who's a sack leader in the NFL.
What are you getting here? What are you feeling? How are you feeling, Bills fans, as we finally made it? Like I said, I have been waiting quite literally months for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they had the division on lock in November. Early November.
The earliest of any team in the NFL. You knew they were going to the playoffs.
Like, they didn't officially clinch the division, but they basically clinched the division in early November.
Mm-hmm. I still, that's unfathomable. Thanksgiving, you actually have on all major things clinched, like marked on your standings.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
And it's just one of these things where you were hoping for this scenario. Get to the playoffs as healthy as possible. And here you are. It's Denver coming in. You have one player on your injury report. Brandon Codrington is questionable. That's the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm Injured Call for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION.
That's interesting in itself, too, because Khalil Shakir, I believe, is the backup return man.
But Codrington is questionable. I'd imagine he plays.
I would hope so.
He sat out of the New England game.
Mm-hmm. He's been great this season.
He's been fantastic, actually. He was a great addition to this team.
Sneaky, too. No one was really thinking who the punt returner is going to be, and then all of a sudden he's popping some
Brandon Bean
solid
makes a
returns.
Deal at the end of preseason, yeah. And Codrington comes here. But again, it's also the fact that we've been waiting now for this. We have been waiting for the... so much so we've been waiting for it and so expectant of a division and officially clinching it here, that what have we been talking about the most time here, Joe, throughout the last 2 months? It hasn't been about the playoffs. That was a foregone conclusion. It wasn't about the two seed. That was a foregone conclusion. It was about the dang MVP race.
And especially with the All-Pros out, now it has had an all-time high.
I think it's not at an all-time high. I think it's the last part of the chapter being written.
Yeah, we're in the prologue.
The AP voters...
It's the same crew.
...are the MVP voters.
Mm-hmm. And it's that's not to be confused with, I've seen this online, just to clarify, it's not the same... The AP players All-Pro is voted on by the players. That is not the same thing as the All-Pro list. Mm-hmm. I've seen that, like, oh, they're different voters, they're different people. No, this is the this is actually the writers voting on this.
Yes.
This is not the players.
Correct.
It's a different list.
Yes. And the other thing about this is we saw the voting. They let the numbers out about it. 30 first place votes for first team All-Pro for Lamar to Allen's 18. I'd imagine Burrow got the other two out of the 50.
I think so, yeah. I think that, I actually saw that.
That tells
too.
Me there's enough of a discrepancy,
mm-hmm.
though, that there is something to it. First of all, congratulations, Ryan Clark. You're off the hook.
Yeah.
Your alleged voter fatigue that could be coming in for Lamar Jackson clearly is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone saying voter fatigue about Lamar Jackson, no, it's not there. He is the first team All-Pro. And honestly,
justifiably so. I'm not going to argue that at all.
And to me, it also tells me that that's how the voting is going to go, because we have not seen a discrepancy between first team All-Pro quarterback that wins the MVP since 1987.
Yeah, with John Elway.
John Elway.
Which is still, I mean, Montana, that season, that's a first-team All-Pro. Like, that was at the peak of their careers. So it's like,
right.
You know, can't really be too upset. But statistically speaking, like you said, since then, and since the double co-MVP thing, because that threw a wrench in the whole thing, too. Since then, it's been
But
locked.
Even then, the co-MVP between Peyton Manning and Steve McNair, that is a statistical anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have people voting to where the numbers and the math actually ties it.
Yeah.
That's how it has to go.
Right, and mathematically, and you don't... Looking at it this season, it was such a justifiable win for Lamar Jackson in, like, the margin of victory, right?
Yes.
I mean, I guess, in the party of... And I'm not one to engage on social media with this because I think it's just a losing battle because people are fighting behind screens. It's not real.
Yes.
Like, it's just, they're going to say whatever they want. They don't care because there's no consequence, right? But I think if I'm looking at it, and call me hopelessly optimistic in this sense, right?
I might call it copium.
Right. I saw that tweet yesterday. That was pretty funny. But if the odds swing, which they haven't fully yet, most markets still have Allen as the favorite. Looking right now, I saw that Polymarket thing did not, but that's a whole different story. That's not really the betting betting market. But could see a narrative split of Allen getting the most valuable player for a season with a lesser cast and Jackson getting the All-Pro as best statistical season by a quarterback. You know, like they're I'm not guaranteeing that. That's me looking on the bright side of things at this point to kind of, I guess, just digest it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this been this talk this season about the, you know, setting the precedent of the value of the most valuable player, right? Setting it aside from the stats. You hear some of these pundits talking about the film room versus the stat sheet. Clearly, the All-Pro is for the stat sheet, and it should be for the stat sheet. Lamar had a phenomenal season. But I don't know. I guess, look, you don't know how people
are. If they
want
to stay consistent from the problems that they brought up last year.
Last year's the problem, exactly.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Last year set some weird precedents, not just with the MVP, but also with the Comeback Player of the Year.
Well, yeah, that was
and missing
outrageous.
On that one.
You and I have ranted on the Comeback Player of the Year
last year's voting process was bad.
Yeah.
Considering that Lamar Jackson was near unanimous last year, save for one man. So I don't, like, it's going to be interesting. I almost kind of want to take last year, shove it in a locker, and never talk about it.
Well, that's why I'm even thinking that way, because I think after that, look at the fallout from that.
It's hard to do mental gymnastics when it comes to it, because the voting process was so terribly done last year.
Well, and they're human. They're it's human error, right? So it's whatever they
could
think.
There be an overcorrection? Sure. But do I expect it?
No.
No.
And again, like
I said, the
numbers
are the numbers.
I'm not 100% locked onto that.
When you got 30 to 18 when it comes to all pro voting for QB1 versus QB2,
mm-hmm.
It's harder to argue against.
Right.
It's a large discrepancy. It's 12 voters difference.
Exactly. And that's more what I'm saying. The narrative split, food for thought. I'm not 100% believing that myself. It's just kind of to have the counteracting opinion a little bit. And, you know, I do believe it a little bit. I did put money on Allen to start the season, so I guess I have to, right?
You're just trying to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, yeah. So if I'm...
You're trying to justify spending your money.
If I'm dying on the hill, I'm going to die on the hill.
On you. I have no money.
Well, you know, I don't either. I'm not a degenerate.
Oh, my goodness. We'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Matt. Matt, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Good morning. How you doing?
How are you today?
Not too bad. What you got for us?
A couple points. I hope you'll let me give me a little bit of time to go through them in regards to this MVP. First, with the All-Pro, and I'm assuming the MVP voting, you know, at this point, I just think It reminds me of draft day, where he's going into the draft with the first overall pick, and everyone's expecting to take a quarterback. And then you see him pull out this crumpled piece of paper where he has written down draft Vontae Mack no matter what. And at this point, I feel like the MVP voters, the AP voters, are kind of doing the same thing, where they crumple up a little piece of paper, put it in their pocket, and then they sit down and pull it out, and it says, don't vote for Josh Allen no matter what. Because it's to me that the most productive player in the history of the NFL on a per-game basis in terms of both the regular and the postseason, no MVPs after 7 years. It's literally indefensible. And I think it almost seems like there's some sort of, like, psychosis against Josh Allen. I thought he was going to be trash coming out, and he made them look like idiots. But the second point I have is that if you look at what happens when Lamar doesn't have a running game, he struggles badly. I'm talking like in an entire game. I'm talking like even in like a part of the game. Like if you watch the game against Cleveland, and I've watched several Baltimore games, probably 8 or 9 this year. In the games, like in the Cleveland game in the first half when Henry had like 6 carries for 7 yards, nothing. And then Henry started going in the second half, and then all of a sudden Lamar looks great. And if you watch the other games, like the first Pittsburgh game to the second Pittsburgh game, Henry was held in check, and Lamar couldn't do anything, basically. Didn't even score any touchdowns, and they still won the game. Game Henry goes off, and Lamar suddenly looks amazing. And so my point is that dependent on Henry and his running game to do well for him not to struggle. I mean, the guy's 2-5, including losses to 2 teams with a 5-25 record against the rest of the NFL. over 90 yards. Actually, I'm not even sure if he's the MVP of his own team.
He needs someone
to basically lift you up to that level.
I'm not buying that one, Matt. I appreciate the call. Lamar Jackson is absolutely the MVP of his own team.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry also
a nice piece.
No, ready? Derrick Henry also enjoyed a career year. Why do you think that is? It's because Lamar Jackson had his most efficient and effective year as a passer this year.
Right.
I don't want to call it necessarily a symbiotic relationship, but one's presence doesn't help the other and then the other's doesn't, like you were alluding to here, Matt. Both of them helped each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it is a symbiotic relationship.
It 100% is, yes.
Like, Derrick Henry enjoyed his productivity with the Ravens this year because Lamar Jackson is there.
Right.
Lamar Jackson enjoyed career numbers because he got a complimentary piece that he has never had before in Derrick Henry.
And that's just the thing. The whole point of the, you know, there's a disdain against Josh Allen, right?
Spare me.
Please
spare me of
that's
this.
That's where you lose me.
It's not this Buffalo against the world mentality that we all want to keep thinking that it is here. It's not.
No.
Because, ready? Josh Allen, the only other time that I would say he was a heavy MVP candidate, he was outdone by Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
who had an unconscious season in 2020.
Yeah.
That's the only other time that I think that Josh Allen should have been considered for an MVP.
And I think, you know, using past years, not Rodgers, but these younger quarterbacks, right? Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I think it's just a testament to the talent at the quarterback position currently. You have multiple MVP caliber
players.
Within the
AFC.
In the AFC in general. Like, that's why it is the way it is. That's why it's so tough to win, because you have Lamar Jackson doing things a quarterback has never done before. You have Josh Allen doing things a quarterback has never done before. You have Joe Burrow sneakily putting up a fantastic statistical season with a terrible team. You have Patrick Mahomes, who still
is Patrick Mahomes.
Like, you have some of the best quarterback talent in the NFL, and their four quarterbacks are in the AFC, always at the top of the conversation.
Yeah,
it's a losing battle for three out of the four.
Yeah, it's a losing battle for a quality candidate, no matter what.
Yes.
And you want to know what's hilarious? There are other players that are just going to be absolutely, that are not being talked about at all because they did have great seasons, and they should be talked about.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we remember Jared Goff was healthily in this conversation mid-year?
Yes.
Do we realize that Saquon Barkley is someone that should be in the top three for MVP this year?
Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts was even messing with the conversation a little bit.
And nobody is worrying about that.
Nope. Barkley's name has fizzled out of existence in the MVP conversation in the past month. Like, legitimately has.
I kind of want to just put this whole damn thing to bed so that I can focus on Bills and Broncos and be at peace with my mind again.
Yeah.
Because I am legitimately sick of this, like, these weird narratives that have to be concocted about Josh Allen and why he hasn't won the MVP.
If anything.
I need my peace of mind back.
Yes. But say...
Let's actually play the damn football games again that matter in the postseason so that I can stop hearing about this. I am genuinely sick of the MVP conversation at this point because, ready? Here it is. Once again, since 1999, only one person has won both the MVP and the Super Bowl. I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face or until y'all are blue in the face at this point. This doesn't matter.
No, it does not.
And I blame you're also to blame here because you wanted to talk about it today, and now you're letting the demon out. I have had it with this MVP discussion. Lamar Jackson is worthy of winning it. Josh Allen is worthy of winning it. Who the bleep cares? Enough. I cannot take it anymore with this MVP conversation of why Josh Allen's getting snubbed. He's always getting snubbed. Nobody wants to vote for Buffalo. You know what? Congratulations, Baltimore Ravens, for having an outstanding PR team.
Yeah. Can I also go ahead?
Because you have Pro Bowlers that you shouldn't. You have a bunch of All Pros, and Buffalo has one All Pro on a season where they are second in the AFC, win 13 games again. This is what the problem is with the national media, because they also very conveniently forget that they all decided to start saying Buffalo was not going to be a top team in the AFC this year and that they possibly wouldn't win the division. Ho-hum, they all forget about it, and yet there are no All-Pros on this team on the first team.
Yep.
And there's only one that on made it on the team. Second team, and he's an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask
maybe, just maybe. We have to go ahead and just think to ourselves, maybe none of this really is something to worry about. Because the thing that I'm actually going to worry about, the only thing that I really care about when it comes to watching this team right now,
the Lombardi,
starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we simmed through the last 2 months of the most miserable discussion about the MVP race. And now finally, I will have my peace of mind tomorrow. And I do not care win or lose. I get to talk about actual football with this team.
Yep.
Because these last 2 months, sadly, have not mattered. Buffalo was winning the AFC East. They were getting a home playoff game. And they were playing well enough that everything was going to be fine. So we had to keep talking about something. What did we have to keep talking about? The damn MVP conversation and how disingenuous it became.
Now, let me ask you a question. Not totally related to this. I'm not making
another
point.
And now my blood is boiling.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
Just for the class, for the listeners, too. Just think this
yourself. We have Bills and Broncos tomorrow, and here we are still talking about this stupid trophy.
Do you think Eleanor... Lamar Jackson care if they win MVP? No, they do not. They could.
Ready? No, they do care.
You think?
There's a degree of pride in athletes.
Well, yes. I'm not saying
they're
that.
They're not saying that. Ready? This was the part, again, where this disingenuous part of it happens, where we get a take from Bart Scott saying, oh, Josh Allen would be fine if he won MVP and not the Lombardi. Shut the hell up.
Right. That's what I was going back to, though.
Yeah.
I think what's on these two quarterbacks' minds is the priority. Get their teams through the postseason and get the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah.
It's not, let's, you know.
We got playoff football tomorrow.
Yeah.
So this is your fault.
Well, that's what I mean,
throwing a donut at you.
No.
Yes.
No.
During break, I'm going and buying a donut and I'm throwing it at you. This is your fault. Because we have Bills and Broncos tomorrow. We should be talking about that to start the show. But we had to, again, this is also 2 months worth of frustration coming out from me here of, again, some of the most disingenuous conversations being had about the MVP race.
It's been
because the
ridiculous.
Bills, because the division was so cheeks this year that we had nothing better to talk about.
Yeah. You're not worrying about Miami sneaking up in the playoffs. You're not worried about the Jets. You're not worried about the Patriots. Like, it's just, there was nothing really.
And I need the Ravens to get smacked around today because they didn't even have the division wrapped up until the last week of the season, and all they cared about talking about was the damn MVP race.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wave those terrible towels. That's all I got to say.
Spare me, Baltimore. Tony and Kenmore, how you doing?
I'm great, man, because whoever it was that just went off on this entire MVP date, you a real one, man.
Thank you.
You the real MVP. Thank you for that. I felt that way all along. And while I get nervous as anybody with regards to first round playoff games, regardless of the spread and what I think should play out. Guys, we're like 2 days away. Not even. All right, we're like a day and a half away from being able to talk about these two going head-to-head in the biggest game of their lives. The biggest game. I mean, are you kidding me? I'm already there. I'm already there, and you could spare me the whole, well, they don't play each other. It'll be Lamar against the Bills defense and Josh, against the Ravens defense. Nah, man. All right? This entire debate is about to come to a head on the football field in like 9 days, and it is just stupid, amazing, fabulous drama. I can't wait. I want to see Pittsburgh. When push comes to shove, man, and Pittsburgh State is driving for that winning score today, I'll be rooting because I'm far more afraid of Baltimore than anyone else that we could play next week. I'd be rooting for Pittsburgh to score that touchdown or kick that field goal, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, that game is so sexy next week. And I just can't imagine what it's going to be like talking about it for 9 days. So dope.
It's exciting.
Tony, I appreciate the call. Thank you, man. And you the real MVP.
Yeah.
I just got Kevin Durant-ed.
Yeah.
So
he's right, though.
Yeah.
Like, this is Ball don't lie. Again, that's what we're getting to.
Again, your fault.
Listen, I didn't want to go into it. I just wanted to make a point and move on. Everything spiraled out of control.
You know what? It was 2 months of frustration that came to a head. So we both wanted to put it to bed today
because it is over.
It's over.
It's legitimately. And here's the thing.
This is the final frustrating chapter of the MVP conversation, and I'm so glad that I get to put it to bed because also, ready? I have a rule for you when it comes to rooting interests and what you should or should not say for tonight's Steelers-Ravens game.
No injuries.
That'll come up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.